We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Good morning, Grinders! Welcome to DFS Pregame Show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka BlenderEd, BlenderHD. If you want to follow me there on Twitter, and today's Friday, it's Casual Friday. Casual. We're being casual. We're always casual here, kind of. Casual, give me those some of those thummy thumbs. Since you're here casually on Friday, the thummy thumbs, it helps us out. I've been told. Right. If you don't give the thumbs, we don't get the show anymore. I guess, maybe. So hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live. We got tons of content on the channel. NFL still, you know, week 11, tons of stuff. I'll be back on later today with the NFL Advanced Sports Analytics Show. Right. We got stuff on Saturday, Sunday morning. We got tons of stuff here. So subscribe to the channel. You'll get all the content here at Roto Grinders. I see you guys in the YouTube chat. Feel free to post whatever the hell you want. It's Casual Friday. We'll talk about anything. I don't care. It's going to be mostly NFL, right? We're going to take a look. Pretty much, it's going to be the first time I take a look at this slate. Kind of the first time. I kind of built a dummy lineup so I could, you know, enter contests on both sites. I kind of just look at the projections, look at the ownership a little bit. I mean, we still got some news to wait on. What's going on with Alvin Kamara? What's going on with Clyde Edwards-Helaire? What's going on with other people, I guess? Are we waiting on? We're waiting on stuff, I guess. So good morning. Good morning, Gerald Miller, Hog Lawrence, Card Fan, First Round Exit Trey. Good morning. Post your questions in there. I'm just going to be rerunning some lineups, right? That's what we do to figure out what types of stacks, what types of lineups are we going to play in NFL. With our current projections, right? Like I said, you know, Kamara's out. That makes Ingram a play. Then Daryl Williams is going to be, you know, there. I mean, what are we doing with Gaskin? I don't know about that. I mean, Chase Edmonds isn't back, so Connor's still there. Obviously, we have a big total in the Dallas-Kansas City game. That should be one of the chalkier games. But I don't see many of the Cowboys up here as far as projection. Like, you can go team by game by game. Because I'm looking at that salary-adjusted plus-minus value. Typically, that's going to show what game stacks are going to, you know, come together. So, like, the Jets, not much here for the Jets. Miami, a little bit. You're right, Gaskin, Waddle, Gesicki. Okay, but that's a low-total game. Let's see, Houston, Tennessee. Not much, really. Marcus Johnson, is he a viable cheap option at 3,400? Maybe. Got A.J. Brown there. Houston, Brandon Cooks, as always. Fine. Okay, he's viable. Then we go here. We go to Buffalo. Buffalo, yeah, you can do the Diggs-Beasley stack. Yeah, something like that. Indianapolis. I mean, yeah, Taylor Pittman-ish. Yeah, even though they don't project all that well. They only have a 21 implied team total. So typically we see these guys like Taylor and Pittman project much better when Indianapolis has a 26, 27 point team total. New Orleans, garbage. If Kamara plays, right? Ingram would be fine if he doesn't. But based on this, not much. Philadelphia, not much here. It's one of the least appealing games. One of the lowest total games, 43 total. Maybe Goddard. He's questionable. Kez Watkins, I don't know. Is that viable, 3,700? Washington, not much here. I mean, you could always play McLaurin, I guess, right? Ricky Seals-Jones is a punt tight end. Carolina, McCaffrey, Moore. Okay, Carolina looks a little bit better this week. Cleveland, Nick Chubb. You could play Nick Chubb, and the receiving game is not there. Keep on playing Landry and not getting there. They have a big total, 27.5. But Chubb is expensive, 7,800. Detroit, DeAndre Swift, 7,000. Okay, I almost prefer to play him. Let's take a look at San Francisco. Oh, Debo, Kittle. Okay, this may be viable. San Francisco stacked, maybe. Jacksonville on the other side, not much. Dan Arnold. Yeah, okay, so Dan Arnold show. Green Bay, Minnesota. Obviously, Green Bay is going to have two big, Adams and Dillon. They're both going to be very owned. Right, because Aaron Jones is out. A.J. Dillon should pretty much step in and get 70, 80% of the work. Minnesota, Dalvin Cook. Thielen and Jefferson don't project all as badly as they would normally. In the past, they've been lower projected. Maybe a lot of people will be playing the Green Bay side and not enough will be playing Thielen and Jefferson. Jefferson, obviously, 8,100 is getting up there. But Thielen, 6,600. Conklin, maybe, 3,900. This could be a game. Let's see Baltimore. Nothing really here at Baltimore. Everyone's healthy now. They cut into too much of each other's production. Lamar may be fine, but I mean, you're going to be losing a lot of projection by pairing them with, Bateman, Brown, Andrews, Watkins. Chicago on the other side. Yeah, not much here. David Montgomery, maybe. Cole Kmet, cheap tight end. Let's see. How about the Raiders? Darren Waller, okay, Renfro. I think that people don't roster the Raiders high enough. I may like this game. This may be my favorite game on the slate. Cincinnati, Las Vegas, it may be. I mean, I'm preliminarily looking at it. Right, Waller, Jacobs, Renfro, Edwards, maybe. Cincinnati on the other side. See, you got people on the other side. Higgins, Chase, Boyd, decent, Mixon. Maybe. In Arizona, Seattle. Arizona, not much. Just that too much, is Hopkins going to play? Everyone's kind of overpriced. James Conner is viable. Seattle. Lockett and Metcalf. I almost prefer the other side of the game. Play the Russell Wilson side. You pair one of Lockett or Metcalf up with Everett. Because now they're cheap, right? Metcalf, 6,800. Lockett, 6,000. That's doable. We still have Chris Carson in the projections. So that may bump up Collins. He's doubtful. Then we have Dallas, Kansas City. Kansas City, obviously, Hill, Kelsey, Darrell Williams, depending on CEH's status. Then on the Dallas side, doesn't project as well. Right? These Dallas guys are going to be lower owned. CeeDee Lamb, 7,600. Zeke, 7,700. Cooper, 6,200. Maybe play the Dak side. I mean, they don't project horribly, but not well. So that you could go through and you could see like what's more likely to come up. Like I could run lineups and see the same thing. You go team by team and go, what games have the most amount of like high projected players together? So I'm going to run 100 lineups. We have what, 12 games slate? So I'm going to run 12 games slate, it's 24 teams. run each 4%? Each quarterback at 4%? Does that get us pretty much all of them? 49.5, I got everything here. Just to see, based on our gridiron IQ projections, what these lineups look like. A 3+1 type of lineup. And it doesn't matter if it's with the running backs or whatever, just whatever. Three guys from one team, one guy from the other team. Let's see what they look like. So I'm going to run 100 of these and then take a look at the YouTube chat. Hog Large DFS, love that settings feature in Lineup HQ that allows you to have multiple independent iterations of player pools and build rules for the same slate. Yes, that's a new feature. You could save settings. You can say, here's my settings for this, and then do a second one, do a third one. So you could create a new blank set. So if you wanted to have multiple iterations of, you know, different, this is for small field, this is for large field. You could do stuff like that. I haven't used it yet because I don't feel like I need to, but maybe I'll play around with it so I could show it off at least. Uncrabby Cabby. Hey, Jordan, do you use the same process that you've been teaching us for NBA to find NFL lineups? Yes. The process is the same. No matter, you can get to that same thing 700 different ways. What's the overall concept of DFS when you're playing GPPs? You want to play lineups that project well for lower ownership. That's it. You're going to sacrifice projection. You better be gaining ownership with it. So that's your goal. And the amount of projection you're willing to sacrifice is dependent on the size of the contest that you're playing. What's the exact number? Who knows? You have to estimate that. You're doing something using Lineup HQ or something like that. You're judging it yourself. Is it worth 6 points projection to get this low ownership? Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Is 50 points? That's probably too much, right? When we're getting into the gray area, just being in that gray area is better than 90% of the field. That's just like just picking players at random, practically. Question, Jordan. I believe you said pros like yourself can't play in tournaments with low $5 entry fees. If so, why was Awesome owning a $3.20 max last night? We can't be in tournaments that are below $5 that have lower than a $25,000 price pool. You could go to DraftKings community guidelines. See, this is. I'm not. I don't mean to rag on you, Gerald Miller. Okay, so this is not a personal attack. It's a pet peeve of mine. Okay. I'm not smart. Okay. I'm just gonna put it right out there. I'm not smart. Right. The stuff that I show you here, the concepts that I show you, I did not make up. Okay. I did not invent any of this. Right. All the information that I know is because I looked for it. Like that's essentially what it is. I just looked for it. Right. I didn't ask anyone. I just looked for it. I said, how do you play MLB DFS? Well, why don't I look at the top players that play and what do they do? Right. And how could I re-engineer that? Oh. So if I want to find out information, I just look for it. Okay. So if you wanted to find out anything, you'd figure that, you know, the restrictions on, you know, the limited players, like this is what I would do. Like I'll show you. Okay, so I'd go to Google.com. I don't know if you know about this site. It's called Google. Okay, so now I'm going to go DraftKings. What would I look for? Like, you know, the guidelines. Oh, community go fills it in for me. So I'm going to go to community. I'm going to search for this. Fair play commitment. Learn about allowable and prohibited. Okay, maybe it's this. So I'm going to take a look at this. Right. I'm just going to Google it. So I'm like, okay, let me take a look. Okay. Rules of play, a fair playing field. It sounds like something that's like, oh, maybe they limit, you know, experience badges, find beginner contests. Here we go. Contest eligibility provisions we put in place thanks to player feedback. The highest volume players are ineligible to play in contests if the entry fee is less than $3, which means two or less. They are also ineligible to enter contests where the entry fee is less than $5 if the prize pool is less than $25,000 guaranteed. All contests with entry fee of less than $5 are 20 entries max, with the special exception of mini-max contests. And there's even a learn more button. Let's see. Right? We can see here, enhanced contest eligibility, multi-entry limit and mini-max. Single entry limits. Players can no more than 50 single entry contests that are non-guaranteed in the same sport. Entry fee and start end time at the $1, $2, $3, $5, or $10 amounts. At the higher ones, you can do as many as you want, pretty much. Beginner contest. I found it. It's kind of weird that when I use Google and typed in some words that would take me to where it is, I would find it. Okay. So I'm not ragging on, I'm not Gerald. I'm not ragging on you. Just understand that everything's out there. If you want to learn something, if you want to find out something, everything is out there. Literally everything. You never have to watch this show again. You never have to ask me a question. You know how I know? Because I found out. You know how I found out? Not from some secret cabal or something. And now I'm bringing it to you. It's because you can Google anything you damn want. There are forum posts. I found, I read, just to put things into perspective, I read every strategy forum post on RotoGrinders when I first started. This is 2015. Early 2016, I guess. I read every strategy post, forum post. Now, the Rotogrinders forum started in 2010, 2011? I read every single forum post for strategy ever. So for five and a half year period of forum posts. Now, ones that were specifically labeled strategy type of thing. I'm not slate analysis type of thing. And some of these forum threads were 500, 600, posts long, and you know what I did? I read them all. Every article, strategy article on RotoGrinders, I read every video, strategy video. I watched them all. I watched easily 400 to 500 hours of video. Easily. I mean, when I first started in late 2015, early 2016. Hundreds of hours. So what I would do, if it was me back then, and you're you're watching this show right now, the DFS pregame show. There would be no, I know exactly what I need to do. Go back to the first ever one of these shows. And you know what I do? Watch them in order. And you know, that sounds ridiculous. These shows are typically an hour long and I've done hundreds of them. You go, what am I supposed to do? Hundreds of out? You're playing against people that have advanced PhDs and applied mathematics that give no craps about taking all your money. They're obviously putting in the work. So what work are you going to put when the information is out there? So always understand there's always more for you can do. And all the information is available to you. All of it is. You can know as much as I know by just watching the shit, right? So I always want to highlight that out. I don't want to call out one specific person. But any question, I get DMs. I get at least one DM a week. At least one DM a day, not a week. One DM a day, usually multiple DMs a day, of questions that I've answered 700 times on this show. Hundreds of times. I'm not talking about, you had one time and what. No, hundreds of times. I get questions that are in the course that are answered directly. From people that have bought the course. And I go, I don't know. To me, when I see those questions, I go, maybe it's time for you to quit DFS. Because I just I don't understand. It's maybe part of my personality or something like that. I don't understand how you can't find out this information. To me, it baffles. I mean, it truly baffles me. When I go to Kroger, the supermarket, I've never asked an employee where something was. Never. You know why? Because there's a Kroger app and you could type in any item and it gives you the aisle number that it's on. The information's out there. So if I know baking pans or my wife needs me to get something, I don't know what aisle this would be on. Is it in the international aisle? Is it in this? It could be. And we have Krogers that have 40, 50 aisles. It's it could be there. It could be here. I'm not necessarily sure what it looks like. I don't even know what it looks like. I don't even know what I'm looking for. So you know what I do? I Google it. So they wanted me to get this taco seasoning type of, okay, well, what does it look like? And there's an image of it. Then I go to the Kroger app, type it in. Type in something, right? Taco, and I could find it. Oh, that's that picture. And then it's aisle 28. Then I go to aisle 28 and I look wild. Oh, there is. So it's like, so why do I have to ask anyone? The information's out there. That's my natural, that's what I naturally do. So you can understand why I have stuff like stupid Saturdays or whatever, because I naturally, I don't understand people that can't just find the information. Like I really want to highlight this. I mean, it's casual Friday. We can talk about casual stuff, right? It truly baffles me. It baffles me. I look at those people and I go, I don't know how you got out of like being an infant. Like I don't get it. I look at those people and go, what I would always say is like, I don't trust to even get in a car with you. Like, I don't even understand how you would have learned how to drive a car. I don't know how, whatever you do for a living, I will never go to your business because I could never trust anything that you do because it baffles me. The information is out there. Just look for it. Let's see. Go through. Let's see. Michael Dampier says, for your information, I'm a consultant. The number of people who pay me to answer questions, that's basically a Google, is baffling. Right, exactly. Applications of stuff. I mean, there's a value in going over the applications of things. And that's what I use this show for. Here are all the concepts that you need to weigh, but here's some type of application of it, an example of it. So like I said, I built 100 lineups here. I capped the exposure of the quarterbacks to 4% just so I'd get them all. I get like them all. So we could see the differences between the ownership and the projected points for each of these 3+1 types of lineups. Does that mean you have to play 3+1 lineups? No, we're doing this for research purposes, okay? We're also doing it based on the current numbers. These numbers will change. You know how many times I have to say that? This is how frustrating it is. Where I will do something in the morning, especially like an NBA, do something in the morning, and then I will get a message in my DMs the next day, saying, you were so wrong about X, Y, and Z. I'm like, who said you should play X, Y, and Z? Because of the morning. It's like, dude, this guy was out and that guy, like, everything changed. The number, all the numbers changed by 6 o'clock. That's why I constantly have to say, based on the numbers that we're looking at, you're not watching this show to get the answers. You're watching the show to get the process. So me putting in, like, let's take a look at what all the quarterbacks in 3+1 stacks look like. To compare a projection number and an ownership number. These numbers will change, but the process of doing this will not change. You can do this Sunday morning. So now you can start comparing things rather than thinking in terms of players. What players do I play? I'm looking at lineups. That's the biggest thing that you have to go away from. 95% of people that, what players should I play? And I go, it's not about players. It's about lineups. They go, but players have lineups. I need to know what players to play. So some people find it hard getting into the mindset of you're playing lineups. So using a tool like Lineup HQ like this and running through lineups without thinking about players gets you more in that mindset of like, I'm just running lineups and taking a look at numbers. These two numbers of not looking out, do I want to play Brandon Cooks? I do not care about the players. We're just looking at lineups. The more you think in those terms, the better you'll get. So we're going here. We're going Derek Carr, 143, right? Who cares about ownership right now? So 143 for Derek Carr lineups that are 3+1. So you get Carr, Renfrow, Waller, Higgins. But obviously, we're going to see most of the lineups that project well are the ones when we went through game by game, had more pieces that had a higher, a salary adjusted plus minus. Trevor Siemian, 129, right? 129, right? Not good. Yeah, you lower ownership though, right? Okay, to get Siemian, Kamara, Troutman, Carson Wentz, 134, right? What's the highest one? What's the highest one that we have? 143 for Derek Carr. So, yeah, you're gonna be giving up a lot of points going. A lot of projection going out to a New Orleans, Philadelphia stack. Siemian, Kamara. Well, it just assumes Kamara's playing. Troutman, Quez Watkins. So we have the best. 143 is the top. Carson Wentz is 134. So you're giving up like 9 points. To do Wentz, Pascal, Pittman, and where's Buffalo? Ed Cole Beasley. Jared Goff, who I think is out. We have him as questionable, but I think he's out. Goff, Swift, 135. Lamar Jackson, 135. Fields, 135. Tyrod Taylor, 136. All right, we're going to go down. We're going to find some. Taysom Hill. I don't know why he's in the projections. 122. Patrick Mahomes, 143. Mahomes, Hill, Williams. With Michael Gallup. So here's some higher projected Patrick Mahomes lineups. This is assuming that obviously CEH is not it. Okay. And we have Joe Burrow. That's Cincinnati, the Cincinnati Las Vegas game, right? Carr and Joe Burrow, these types of lineups project just as well as the Chiefs lineups, right? Right. We get Boyd, Higgins, Burrow. And Darren Waller, tight end, right? Probably have Renfro in some lineups for him. I mean, not these four. Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, 5,100. Is he too cheap? Newton, McCaffrey, Moore with Ricky Seals-Jones. They don't project that badly, 141. Russell Wilson with Lockett and Everett. You run that back with James Conner. Okay, that makes sense. Tua, Gaskin, Waddle, Michael Carter. I mean, projects at 140. Not a big fan of that game. Aaron Rodgers, Dillon. Yeah, you just do Rodgers, Dillon, Adams, and right. You don't have to worry about the secondary pieces. You run that back with Tyler Conklin, right? Okay, that's doable. Dak Prescott. Let's take a look at the other side of that game. So it's Prescott, Gallup, Cooper, and then Darrell Williams. Do you get Tyreek Hill in any of these lineups? The top four? No. So this is what you're looking for. You're like, okay, so you can start comparing. These are the best. Like, obviously, these are the top four projected lineups of this configuration. Maybe you don't play a run back at certain lineups. Maybe you do. Maybe you play a single stack. But you're just looking for, like, what games have the most amount of higher projected, decently, you know, above expectation players together, and what do they look like? So you get a sense. So you go, oh, okay, maybe people will look and go like, well, I'm going to play Lamar Jackson. No one's playing Lamar, right? They go, oh, everyone's going to go to Mahomes and Prescott and Burrow and Newton and whatever, you know, Josh Allen. How many people are playing Lamar? They look at the quarterback ownership, and it's like, I don't care about the quarterback ownership. I look at the lineups and you go, well, I'm going to play Lamar with Bateman and Andrews and run that back with Cole Kmet. That's all perfectly fine, but you're sacrificing, you know, 8 points of projection for doing so. Compare that to the ownership now. You could do it. Probably a large field. That's fine. But maybe because the multiple pieces on the Ravens don't project as well, consider doing Lamar Jackson as a single stack. Consider doing Lamar Jackson as a single stack with no run back, with no Chicago player. Like, let's say we did that. Let's say we did. I'm gonna run it. You go, because the Ravens receivers don't project all that well, but you still want to play Lamar Jackson as a contrarian piece. That you just want to run it with just one and no run back, just Lamar Jackson and just a single stack, and that's it. So let's see what those look like. I'll put in Baltimore. Okay. We don't have to build 100. 0 to 1. Okay. What am I doing wrong? Okay. 1-1 Baltimore. I'll just put them all in and just because I have a 4%. Yeah, because it's at 4% and it's trying to generate lineups then. Let's see. Come on. Okay. We'll generate them all like that. Just single stacks. And you take a look and you go, well, I'm giving up too much projection by doing a double stack and a run back of Lamar Jackson. So maybe for Lamar Jackson lineups, I don't make that game stack. But for other games, I do. So it's always a balance of projection versus ownership. Doesn't mean you can't do a double stack and a run back of the Ravens. But I would say that this type of lineup is more geared towards larger field contests. So if you're playing single entry three max, maybe you wouldn't be running this type of lineup. In a very small field, you'd actually be running the opposite. You'd heavily game stack. So let's go to Lamar Jackson. We did just a single stack, no run back. Where's Lamar Jackson? Here's Lamar Jackson. Okay, so now we're at 140. Jackson, Bateman, and that's it, right? So if you just use this lineup of 140, 128, that's more comparable to lineups that are like 140, like Lamar Jackson lineups with the double run, with the double stack and the run back compared to the Lamar Jackson lineup here. There's a difference of 5 points in projection, a little over 5 points, 5.2 points in projection. So if you're going to be playing like other lineups, like these, the double, if you're going to play 3+1s, like we'll take a look at a 3+1 here of like, let's see, Josh Allen, 138, Russell Wilson, 141. Russell Wilson double stacks and run backs, right? So Russell Wilson, Lockett, Everett, and James Conner, 141 at 132. This Lamar single stack lineup with no run back is 141. This is Russell Wilson. Where's Lamar Jackson? Lamar Jackson. Give me Lamar. Where is he? There he is. 140 at 128. A little bit more comparable. A little bit more. So you could go through and see, you know, what type, if you're looking at, you know, all my lineups, I want to be in this type of range. Well, that means some lineups you could double stack and some lineups you don't double stack and some lineups don't have a run back. Some lineups have the quarterback with the running back. Some lineups don't have the quarterback with the running back. So when people ask, do you do X? There's no answer to that. There's no correct answer. You can make any type of lineup. You're looking at projection and ownership. That's it. I know I say that. It's like every day I have to highlight the same points over and over again. It's not about, do you build this type of lineup or that type of lineup? It's like you can build any type of lineup. Any type of lineup that you want as high of a projection you want as possible with the lowest ownership as possible. That's it. A projection of lineups that have single stacks are going to be different than ones with double stacks and the ones with run backs and the ones. Is the correlation worth it? Is it worth 5 points? Probably not. How much is it worth? I don't know, but probably not 5 points. So that's for you to judge. Should I have a run back in this lineup or not? Well, how many points of projection are you sacrificing for doing so? Whatever that is it worth the correlation? Are you getting even more of an ownership discount? Then maybe it's fine also. Those are the three levers: projection, correlation, and leverage. The question is not which is better. The question is how much projection is what you're willing to sacrifice for each of the other two levers. That's it. Ryan H., let's get to the MMA portion of the show. There's no MMA portion of the show today. I didn't finish my sheet. I've not done my sheet. All I've done with my MMA sheet is input the fighters, their salaries, and their win, their money line odds as of Tuesday. So I don't have anything in there. I have no ownership, no projections, no, I don't have any inside the distance line. So there's nothing I can give you on MMA. I'm sorry. But from what I could tell, like the odds between fighters are much smaller. So on cards where like we've had a lot of cards where like we've had heavy favorites and heavy underdogs. This is a card that like it's mostly even. I mean, yeah, I think at in the high 9,000s, there's like -300 or something. But in the middle, it's like it's all 60-40s or less. So typically on those cards, be more inclined to play more underdogs, to leave some money on the table, right? To get unique. Obviously, this is for large field GPPs. When we have so many heavy, I mean, we've had some cards where, wasn't there one card, it was 12 fights, 11 favorites won. Right, and we had that like twice. Like it was 11 fights and like all the favorites. Like those are slates where I'm never gonna profit. It just creates those types of slates. If all the favorites win, creates too many duplicated lines. So I'm more leaving 800 on the table, taking four underdogs in your lineup. You know those types of lineups that are less duplicated, and those tend to work better on. Right, those tend to, because when the fights are closer, because the field still is going to probably roster more favorites than underdogs. So that's to me, that's what it would be. Individual people, I don't know. I haven't done my sheet. I have no idea. I put in the money line odds, and all I could see is like, wow, there's like, you know, pretty much there's a lot of closer fights. I don't want to call them even, but closer. Joe Max says, I think it's more that we are lazy and want someone else to give us the answers. Well, yeah, that would be the best of both worlds, but you're not going to find that. Well, the problem is that you have two problems with that statement. I mean, no, what Joe's saying is correct. It's nothing against you, Joe. Is that number one, if you're going to be lazy at this, then you might as well not do it. Unless you're playing recreationally, this is work. You have to enjoy this. I enjoy this work. I enjoy doing this stuff in Lineup HQ. I enjoy putting together spreadsheets. I enjoy it. I want it. The fact that this is what I do for a living is ridiculous. I enjoy waking up in the morning, doing these shows, running lineups, playing DFS, losing money 90% of the time. For the 10% of the time where I win a lot of money. I enjoy doing it. So that to me, it's that I have no reason to be lazy. I'm always thinking of what more to do. What more can I be doing? And a lot of times the question is, it's what less you can be. A lot of times you think of, I could do this more, this better, this more involved. And then you find out that a lot of times it's the more that you cut out, the better you do. So a lot of times it's like, I'm going to try to do a lot more. And then you end up cutting 95%. And then you find that 5% that's worth it. And that's what a lot of it is. Oh, I'm not going to watch 300 hours of video. Why not? 95% of it is stuff I think I already know. It's like, okay, well, then you're watching the 300 hours to find the 5% that you don't. Do you enjoy doing this? Why not? Do you want to get better? If the answer is no, then who cares? Then do whatever you want. So when Joe Max says this takes work to be successful, Blender gave a great example of how many hours he spent just to get the basic level of expertise. Because there weren't any shows like this. I'm doing this show because this is the show that I would have wanted in 2015. Right? That's the reason I do this. Like in the content, if you're looking to get into the content space in any industry, any field, the biggest advice I always give is just make the content you want to see. Right? What's out there that you would want that isn't there? You make it. Well, I don't think most people, they think of that and they go, well, I don't think I have the expertise to do that. Who cares? You have enough so that content is not there. So do it. Right? Right. I have the Theory of DFS course, right? 15-hour audio DFS masterclass. I didn't make up any of the concepts that are in this course. I'm just explaining math, essentially. I'm explaining game theory. Anyone could have done it. Anyone reasonably competent in DFS could have done that course, but no one did. So you know what I did? I made the content that I wanted to see. I would have wanted that 15-hour audio DFS masterclass at theoryofdfs.com in 2015. That's what I was looking for. It wasn't, it didn't exist. So you know what? I had to learn those things on my own. By looking and studying lineups and going, okay. But of course, I had a background in poker. I had a background in games to begin with. So I knew general game theory aspects, just had to apply to a new game. But people show up and they're like, you know, once you know the concepts, like the process, you could do 700 different ways. Michael Dampier says, please, let's not dissuade lazy people from putting money into DFS. Which I'm fine. They're typically not watching the show. Right? Though the thing that always amazes me is that people will watch the show over and over, and you know, multiple times, every other day or whatever. They subscribe to sites. They subscribe to Roto Grinders. It's still like, should I play this guy or that guy? I'm like, how are you still at that stage? You've been here for 3 years. Are you still at the stage of this guy or that guy? You pay for projections. Go, just look at him. Just look at him. What else am I going to tell you? But one thing when Joe said, like, said, I think it's more that we are lazy and want someone else to give us the answers. But the main problem is that last thing, is that there are no answers, right? There are no specific answers. Do I play this guy? It's like, no, there's no answer to that question. Here's his range of outcomes based on our projection model. What do I know? What's going to happen today? I have no idea. I have no answer to that. So it's like, well, what type of lineup should I play? Well, you can play a lot of different types of lineups. They all have different distributions. They all have different levels of variance. Different expected values. They may all be positive expected value, but they all come out differently. One contains these six players and one contains those six players. Well, which one should I play? And I go, whichever one you want. Well, how do I get to those lineups? Well, that's the whole point of the show. How do you get to those lineups? I'm showing you how do you get to those lineups. But you know how many lineups you could get to? Thousands. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands, depending on the contest that you're in. The larger the field the contest is, the more plus EV lineups there are. The smaller field, the less plus EV lineups there are. So like if you're gonna play a lineup that sacrifices 25 points of projection and you're gonna play it in a 100-man small field contest, that's not going to be profitable, right? But that lineup in the Millie Maker would be a profitable lineup. How long it takes for you to realize that profit, you may not have enough lifetimes for, but mathematically it would be profitable in that contest, but not in a smaller, very small field contest. But most of the time, you're not dealing in those that extremes. You're dealing more in the gray area. But as long as you're dealing in the gray areas, you're better than a lot of people, especially in the large field contests. Large field contests, we tend to see too many on the ends of the spectrum. Okay, in the lower stakes large field contests, where people make the most mistakes, where the field, or the bad part of the field, is either making lineups that are too safe, so they're putting in the best plays, right? They're playing essentially cash type lineups, very small field type lineups, into contests that have 70,000 entries, 100,000 entries, whatever. So they have a lot of min cash equity. They're going to min cash a decent amount of time, not enough to make them profitable, but a decent enough time. But they're going to have very limited chance of winning first place. So those lineups are essentially like they're bleeding. Like first place, second place, top 10 equity. They're bleeding. They're enhancing their min cash equity, but they're essentially saying to the rest of the lineups in the contest, hey, you guys feel free to win. I'm fine here in 550th place, right? And that's essentially what they're saying. Then you have too many lines. Then you have people that build lineups that are way too contrary, give up way too much projection. They're playing 8-1% owned players. Right, they're playing some lineup that projects 35, 40 points in NBA, right? 20, maybe not even 20, 30, 40 points below other lineups. And it's like those lineups, they have so much variance in them that maybe once in a blue moon, once in 700 lifetimes, they win first place. But most of the time, they're at the bottom, right? Occasionally, they'll mint cash. They actually, those lineups may actually have higher win equity than the mint cash, the other types of lineups. But they lose like 99.999% of the time. So you just have to obviously survive long enough in 700 lifetimes to win once, right? Like, so it's still negative EV. So that's typically, that's where people build, right? The bad part of the field, not the good part of the field. Now we're talking about the 30, 40% of the field, which are not very good players. They're average at best. They're either building two safe lineups or two crazy lineups. You have to find that middle ground. But you have to have a process to find the middle ground. And once you, if you're at least trying to find the middle ground, you're above the current state, even the current state of 2021 of DFS. If you're just trying to find the middle ground, most people don't understand there is a middle ground. Right? The good players do. That's what they're doing. They're building 150 lineups. They're going, where's that middle ground? I got that middle ground. Let me build 150 lineups into that space. Right? And then another guy's building 150 lineups into that space. And we're all, you know, there's 20,000 plus EV lineups, and we're picking the 150 that we want in our little space. And hopefully one of us wins, right, out of the 150 max type players. So whatever. You could have 20 lineups. It could be whatever. And the rest of the field is kind of just like, I think this is okay. I think I'm going to play this guy. I'm going to lock this guy in. I'm going to like, there's no process to try to find that gray area, that middle ground. So some of their lineups may be, end up in that middle ground. Some of their lineups will be too safe. Some of their lineups will be too crazy. Those are negative EV lineups, either way. So you want to find as many in that middle ground. But there could be thousands in the middle ground, thousands. And then when you're looking inside of that middle ground, you're like, is one lineup slightly better than the other lineup? It's like at that point, you need a better process in order to figure out if one lineup in the middle ground is better than the other lineup in the middle ground. And you're not going to be able to do it through the methodologies that I'm showing you. You'd have to have a much more complex process. Typically, you're simulating out the contest. But once you're getting into that middle ground, once you're in that little V spot in the middle ground, then you're directionally accurate. How do you get to that area? That's what I show. These are the blunt ways of doing it. With the tools that we have available to us at RotoGrinders or via Excel, via something where you don't need to be a coding genius in order to accomplish. Now, maybe 5 years from now, maybe 10 years from now, being directionally accurate may not be good enough anymore. Maybe. But it still currently is. It has been for since the beginning of DFS. I still think that there's enough average players that play DFS as a whole in these fields, that having a directionally accurate type of approach, a blunt force type of approach like this, is profitable, at least for the near future. Once you see me stop playing forever and say I'm done with DFS, like that's when, well, either I'm done with DFS or I need to actually, you know, build something to rival that type of more precise process. But this is the blunt way of doing it. So like to say and go through these lineups and go, well, which one is better than the other one? It's like a lot of, once you get down to something like, do I play this Lamar lineup or do I play that Kirk Cousins lineup? Or do I play this Justin Herbert lineup or that, this? And a lot of times you're looking at lineups that are very close to one another. So to decide between, oh, I'm only playing three lineups, but I have 100 lineups to choose from that I all think are good. How do I pick the three? Well, if you think they're all good about equally, then just close your eyes and pick them. I mean, like, there's no other problem. You have no other precise, more precise way of doing it. So why not just randomly pick three? Or you use some type of diversification process of where it's like, well, I want to pick three, but I don't have all three of you Dak Prescott lineups. Well, if you believe that all 100 are about equal to each other, then it doesn't matter if you have three of of a stack or none of a stack. Like, but if it keeps your peace of mind, if your risk tolerance is low, then I don't want to have the same guy in all three lineups. Okay, that's fine. But then just pick the three lineups that don't have all the same guys in them. That's perfectly fine. Let's see. Byron B., how long did it take you for to get your first big win playing NBA? Not long. my second contest? Well, I did the free roll. They used to be VIP free rolls. That's the only reason I got into NBA DFS. Back in 2017, they had monthly free rolls for the VIPs, depending on what level you're at, right? So there was they always pick a sport, right? But I didn't play I didn't play golf. But they would have the golf free roll. So I'd have to look. I'd look on Roto Grinders. Who should I play? But I understood game theory. So it's like, I don't want the six best plays. I'm looking at compared to ownership, right? You're doing some type of game theory thing. So I would always put in golf lineups like that. But then NBA, it's like, what the hell do I know about the NBA? So it was a free roll. So I was like, okay, I'll throw it in. So the first month, I threw in a lineup. I basically just looked at Roto Grinders articles and rankings or whatever, just to put something. It's free equity. For me to not put in a lineup would be stupid. At least put in a lineup that could cash or something. I don't know. So I did that for 1 month. And the next month, they still had an NBA contest. So I'm like, okay, let me take a look. And I looked at projections. I looked at, this guy seems to be as good as this guy, but is not going to be as high owned. So I'm going to play that guy. Like, it seems like everyone seems to be paying up at center. Is there a cheaper center so I could flip the build? I know nothing about NBA. I don't know who these players are. I'm just trying to how do I build a lineup differently that's similarly projected but slightly lower? Because it's not that big of a contest. I think it was 500 entries. And I did that. I came in second. Second place was $7,500 for nothing, right? Because it was a free roll. Once I did that, I'm like, maybe I should play NBA more. And that's when I started playing NBA. So that was the end of the 2016-2017 season, I believe. So that was April of 2017. And then in October of 2017, I won 100K. It was the second week of NBA that season. That's I won 100K. And I won 100K hand-building line. This is before I used an optimizer. So I was hand-building lineups. I was building, five lineups, 10 lineups, something like that. So it's not how long it takes. That doesn't mean you're playing well or not, right? Right, I could have just won. That could be luck. You could play bad and still get there. It's over a long, large sample size. So it's not like how long does it take for you to get? You could have years. You could have seasons where the second week, you bink something, and then you just go downhill the entire rest of the season. Then you may have a season where you're going downhill the rest of the season, beginning of the season, and at the end you bink twice and you have $200,000. You're playing for first place, so you don't get the time when these things happen. Just play well and survive long enough for them to happen. Just understand you're gonna lose so much so often. Your expectation should be that you'll lose. Really, right? Joe Max says in the chat, it's hard to accept losing so much in GPPs when you first start out. You think you're no good and quit. That's why I start with cash 50-50s first so I can learn. Yeah, once you play cash, 50-50s and double ups and head-to-heads, you learn what the best plays are. You just learn what the construction is. It's like, I can identify pricing inefficiencies. That's your first goal, right? But then you know that other people can do the same thing. So you're like, I know this guy is $2,000 too cheap. Well, that's why he's 68% on. That's the reason why he's on. Then you get away from that and you're like, how can I build lineups in a way that I can exploit the inefficiencies of ownership? But GPPs are so top heavy. You're playing for first. You're always playing for first. Understand that when they pay out 20% of the field, that means 80% of the time you should lose even if everything was equal. On average, if you were an average player and everyone was of average skill and they paid out the top 20% of the field, that means you're not going to cash 4 out of 5 days as slates or whatever. Okay. So if you play for 30 days, an entire month, your expectation, 30 days, right? Your expectation is that you should 25 slate. I mean, like, you should only win money, meaning cash, just simply cash. Only what? Five of those days out of the entire month. 25 days, you don't. Or 6 days, it would be six. That's if everyone was equal, that would be normal, right? Just cashing in a GPP. Now, obviously, if you're playing for first, you're probably playing lineups that are less around the cash, less likely to come in around the cash line. So maybe you play an entire month. If you just played one single entry, right? Just one entry, and you played an entire month, and you played 30 slates in a month, you should expect to not get any money back from that one entry 27 times. Right? And the three times that you place, you hopefully that it's not just a min cash, that it's way up there. That should be your exit. That's what it is. That's what playing GPPs is. Well, if I'm going to lose over and over and over and over and over, how do I know if I'm good or not? Well, you need a large sample size. There are plenty of people that have won GPPs with bad lineups and they're not good players. And you know what ends up happening? 2 years later, you go, what happened to that guy? I mean, that's what happens. Wall Street Russ, Jordan, do you have to add your finals manually daily to Roto Tracker for it to update? I just signed up recently. Yeah, you have to update it manually whenever. I don't update it daily, though. I typically update it once a month, which every couple of weeks, something like that. So no, I don't update it every day. I have such a large sample size that what am I going to learn? Like, you know, one day, adding one day to that is not going to change anything. But no, you download your DK file, you download your FanDuel file, you download your Yahoo file, whatever, and then you just upload it to that. There's a little Chrome extension that works for FanDuel and Yahoo. DK, it doesn't work with. But DK, you typically have to click on that entry's history on the history page like 700 times in order to get it. You click on it and it times out. And then you click on it and it times out. Depends on how many entries are in your CSV. But typically it takes a bunch of times to get the CSV from DraftKings. But then you drag it into the little box, you upload it there and it processes it and there you go. I don't think there's a need to do it daily. Do it every week. Do it every month. Do it every whatever in a while. A lot of people that I know only update it after they bink, right? After they win the big, you know, come in first place. So they may not update it for 2 or 3 months or something. Whatever. Oh, let's see. Anything else before we get out of here? This was more of a serious casual Friday, right? It was more like this. I felt like I was a life coach a little bit, not really. Do whatever you want with your life. Live wherever you want. Live whatever you want. Whatever. Doesn't matter. But that's the general philosophy of why I do this show. I'm showing you the applications of concepts, right? But I'm not showing you anything that's like, oh my God, like no one's like, no, I didn't come up with this stuff. This is just like Neil deGrasse, like I view myself as Neil deGrasse Tyson when it comes to physics. Like he didn't invent physics. He's just a communicator of physics concepts and applications. There's no exact answer. And we're dealing with numbers that'll change. Some people have their own projection models and they try to do these numbers themselves and they're perfect and do it. But it means that if your numbers are different from my numbers, my answers will be different from your answers, right? Right? If the numbers change later today, the answers will be different, right? If I don't trust certain things, I go, no, I think this guy's going to be even more owned because I changed the numbers. Sunday morning, Saturday night and Sunday morning, I changed the ownership numbers. Because I believe that I'm better at the intangible the human psychology of DFS than algorithms, even manually updated ones. Because, like, we'll have Jim Giamino. We have the ownership report on Sundays, which you could listen to. You could watch on YouTube, where Giamino and Tuttle go over, like, adjusting ownership on the show. But it doesn't mean I have to agree with them. Do you think this guy's going to be more owned or whatever like that? And I may agree with them, but maybe to even more of an extent. I'm going to bump this guy up to 16%. And I'm listening to it going, I think you should bump it up to 22%. Because I could hear what's going on. I'm looking at Twitter. I could see what the constructions look like. And I go, no, this guy's going to be much higher owned than we think. Or this one's going to be much lower owned than we think. So I need to adjust all that, because if that's what I think, it'll affect the numbers and the lineups that I make. So how do you do that? You have to do that as close to locked as possible. So I'm not going to be on a Friday afternoon. I don't know who's over-owned, under-owned. I have no idea. These numbers, I'm showing you the process of what you'd be doing Sunday morning, not what you'd be doing now on Friday and then playing these lineups. I said, I'm using the term like. I think the Bengals-Raiders game may be going under-owned. Higgins maybe not. So I like that game. Like that, I don't like the game. It's just that in comparison to their projection and ownership, I think they're plus EV as parts of lineups. But that may change by tomorrow. That may change by Sunday, right? That may be slightly different on Sunday. Maybe Higgins' ownership comes down. Maybe Waller's ownership comes up. Who knows? But as of now, based on the numbers that I'm looking at in here, that's what I believe. But by Sunday, it may not be that, right? But just looking. So you run lineups, and as you see. So many people ask me questions. Do you think this or this? I'm going to run lineups and see. All you have to do is run the lineups. Do you have projections? Yes. Do you have ownership? Yes. Okay, then run the lines. You don't have to ask me anything. That's all I'd be doing. Hector Williams, how do you enter all the lineups you optimize on a given tool you use, or does the tool have where you could just enter them all at once? Well, you have to enter the contest, and then you export these lineups, this button, export lineups to CSV. You open it up in Excel and you cut those lineups into the lineups file that you get from DraftKings or FanDuel. We have tutorial videos and you can go on YouTube, right? White Hector, don't make me do what I did with whatever his name, Gerald, before. How do you enter all the lineups? Well, maybe there's a site called google.com. I could type this in, like, let's see. I'm going to do this because here's a trick, okay? Hector, I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to go to google.com, okay? I'm going to type in your exact question. Like, you're literally, I'm going to add the term DFS in here, DFS lineups. Look, there's a video, easy way to mass upload lineups DraftKings. Using a lineup builder to import and edit, right? So there's all these videos. How to use a lineup optimizer. How to use this side, right? Use a lineup builder, import and edit DraftKings lineups. How to optimize your FanDuel NFL lineups using Microsoft Excel. Okay, you could do this. I mean, here you go. Like literally, you could, like, I just literally Googled. Right? Even if I take out the word DFS, I probably still even get those. Right? Yeah, no, I still get those, right? Using a lineup builder, import and edit DraftKings lineups. By Smiz. Yeah, here's Smiz, right? Roto Grinders has videos like just like that also. So yeah, it's almost weird that you could have like typed that into Google and find out the information without ever asking me. It's kind of weird that could happen. Skylar Hewitt, you had a video a day or two going through 300 lineups. I've been doing that and getting a couple players 100%. Should I set uniques to 2 to mix that up a bit or continue to lower ownership? Whichever one you like. Do you play 100% of the player if you want? Don't play 100% of the player if you want. That's a matter of diversification, not strategy. You that video going through 300 lineups, do you have to play any of those lineups? You know what the answer is? No, you don't have to play any of those lineups. Literally, you don't have to play those lineups. You can look at the projection and ownership ranges and go, I'm just going to put those ranges in and make 7,000 other lineups that fit that. You can make thousands. When okay, Skyler? Thousands. On an NBA slate of 11 games, I would say that there's maybe, in the large field contests, you could legitimately make 50,000, 70,000 lineups that are plus EV. 50 to 70,000 lineups. Now, you can only play 150 of them. So which ones do you play? Well, whichever ones you want. You're asking about diversification. The players that are coming up 100% are your most valuable players to your lineups. But now build a lineup without any of those 100% players. Obviously, your projection is going to go down, right? Is that projection worth the ownership? You could play that line. That's fine also. So it's not just going through doing that and going, oh, I got 16 lineups left. Those are the best lineups. No, that doesn't mean anything. But it also shows you what players make up more of those plus EV lineups, what players are over-owned and under-owned. But that doesn't mean you have to play 100% of those guys or 0% of the over-owned guys. Build like X a guy out and build 300 more lineups and then see which lineups you want to play of those. Oh, I got 15 lineups. Okay, X out this other guy and then build another 300 lineups. I mean, you could spend days doing this. Obviously, you could do this in Excel in about 5 minutes. Okay, I can tell you the truth. You could do this in Excel in 5 minutes. You could build out, 50,000 lineups like that and then choose whichever one you want. But to use a tool like an optimizer, like Lineup HQ to do it, you could do, keep on going. You could find thousands upon thousands of lineups. Thousands upon thousands of lineups. Obviously, the smaller the slate, you're not going to find thousands upon thousands. But on a large slate, on an NFL slate, dude, you could play anything that I built right here. Any of these lineups are fine in the millie. Literally any of them. Oh, you'd play Joe Flacco? Yes, there are Joe Flacco lineups that are plus EV. Yes, there are Tyrod Taylor lineups that are plus EV. There aren't as many of them as there are Patrick Mahomes lineups, but there's probably, how many Flacco lineups in the millie are plus EV? I don't know, maybe 3,000? You go, 3,000? Yes! There may be 15,000 Patrick Mahomes lineups that are plus. And you go, well, how many? Yeah, there's probably 200,000 lineups that you can make that are plus EV in the millie, only because of the way that payout structure works. You go, wow, then how do I? Yeah, your goal is to play as many, the highest ones. That's it. That's the name of the game. If you're at the point of like, I need to know the difference between this lineup that's this and this lineup that's that, then like I can't answer that to you. Whichever one you want. That's so close, flip a coin. But most people don't even know how to get to anything that's they're playing lineups that are way too chalky or way too contrary. Where do you find that middle ground? Once you find that middle ground, you can build thousands upon thousands of lineups. Some have this guy, some don't have that guy, some have this guy. In NBA, there are certain situations like we have with like Andre Drummond, like whatever. Where like if you don't play that guy, you drop like 15 points in projection. Like a lot of times you're playing him in like every lineup, right? The higher those things, you're most likely. You're not going to get that in pretty much any other sport. But in football, you don't see that, right? That you have to, if you're getting 100% of someone, it's not necessary. But if those lineups are fine. You're down to, I've got down to 50 lineups and they have 100% of one player. Should I change that? Those are good lines. Those are 50 good lineups. You know what you could do? X out that player and do 50 more lineups. Now you have 50. Now you have 100 lineups to choose from. Okay. What did that change? I'm going to change the unique players so I get 3v3s. Okay. You could do that too. And you get 50 more lineups. And I'm going to do it to 2v2s and get 50. Next thing you know, you have 5,000 lineups to choose. So feel free to choose whichever ones you want. That's the point that I'm making. That's like, well, is it bad to have 100% of a player? No, it's neither good nor bad. Obviously, it's less diverse, but that's, I have 100% of my stock portfolio in one stock. Is that bad? Like, if it's a good stock, it isn't. And if it's good, if it's in Tesla, that's going up 87% this year, then that's great. Just understand if it goes down 87%, it's bad. Well, should I just make it so instead of having one stock, I have 20 different stocks? I go, sure, but there's no right answer to that question. It's like, how tolerant to risk are you? Obviously, by being more diverse and having 20 different stocks, the volatility of one stock isn't going to make or break. But the upper end and lower ends are going to be cut off. If one of your stocks goes up 5X in a month, well, you only have 5% of your portfolio in that. So you do make money. But wouldn't you would have loved all of your portfolio in that? Yeah, sure. But it's more risky to do it. But there's no right answer. There's no correct answer. There's how much risk. When you deal with the stock market, with financial planning, it's not about what do I buy? What stocks do I buy? What mutual fund? What ETF? It all comes down to, well, what is your risk profile? Now, obviously, the younger you are, typically you have a higher risk profile. So you have more time decay, more time to reach. You can make up, your portfolio is down 50%. But I mean, over a 40-year period, if you're 25 years old and you go to 65, like most likely you're gonna have way more money than you started with, right? Like it's almost inevitable. So the peaks and valleys like this, you could withstand on a 40-year time horizon. If you're 50 years old and you're retiring in 15 years, you probably don't want to have that much risk because you don't want to get to the point where one of those down swings happens like right when you retire. So that's why you tend to be more diverse, more into, you know, state, more less volatile assets. That doesn't make it right or wrong. There are plenty of 50-year-olds that don't mind that risk profile. Okay, that's the risk profile. Okay. Okay. Do. Michael Robbie wants the locks of the week, which they don't exist. Feel free to see what my shows are all about. You'll see why those questions are stupid. So give me a thumbs up on your way out the door. Thummy thumbs. I still have to get apple juice. I still have to get ginger ale. I had apple juice. I drank it like all. Now I have to get more apple juice. People have been asking where the apple juice has gone from the show. I don't know. Maybe I need more thummy thumbs for the apple juice. Hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live. We'll see what's going on with football coming up this weekend. And then I'll be back next week, right? On Monday, as I always am, right? Answering your DFS strategy questions, as always. Monday through Friday at 11 o'clock Eastern. On the DFS pregame show on RotoGrinders.com.